I've been teaching on what honor means, and then how is it that we could understand honor and then walk rightly in it. We had said from a previous study that honor will mean to regard, it will mean to respect, to treat as uncommon, or to treat as sacred. And we've been having a conversation around honor, just hoping that you guys get a grip of it as I teach, and myself taking heed as well on the things I teach you. We saw Matthew 13:57, a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. We saw also Jesus's experience on dishonor. But before that, we took some time laying out some emphasis on how that we are supposed to walk in honor towards our Lord Jesus Christ, God first, Jesus Christ, and then ministers of the gospel, and then fellow believers, spouses, children, parents, wives, fellow believers. All right. So we have been paying attention to how that Jesus also got into the midst of a group of people and they did not honor him. And Bible says in Mark 6:5, he could there do no mighty work. So Jesus couldn't do any mighty work because the people had dishonored him, save he laid hands on a few folks and healed them. We saw that in Mark 6:6-1. Then we took a retrogressive story on how that prior to Mark 6:1, when he was supposed to be performing mighty miracles, he couldn't perform a mighty miracle. But in Mark 5:25, he meets a certain woman who had an issue of blood, and he healed that woman's issue of blood just by her faith. So she stretched out her hand, touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she was made whole. Hallelujah. Prior to Mark 5:25, we saw that even before Matthew 5:25, he also had just met somebody who happened to be Jairus' daughter. And she was lying at the point of death in Matthew 5:21. And he healed her. Right? So we got to see that the reasons why Jesus could not help the people, could not perform any mighty miracle, could not see those miracles that he used to see, was because the people took offense, number one, and then number two, they dishonored him. Now, it therefore will suffice to say that faith receives the power of God, while offenses, unbelief, and dishonor will stifle the power of God. I'll say it again. Faith receives the power of God, while offenses, unbelief, and dishonor stifles the power of God. You know, you can be very blessed by a man of God today And when you hear from him, you're all like, maybe you hear from your pastor, you're like, wow, my pastor, you know, teaches the word. I'm blessed by the words of my pastor. And in the next 2 weeks' time, you hear the same thing and it don't bless you. Or it doesn't bless you. It sounds very ordinary to you. What is missing is that link of honor. That's what is missing. That's what is missing. If you can go back and retrace from where this honor crept into your heart, or this honor crept into anybody's heart, not you, they will get to realize that the missing link was a certain kind of a sight that you have for him. So offenses will stifle the power of God. You take offense. Why did he shout on me? It sounds very instructive. Couldn't he have come to a consensus with me on this issue before talking about it? We cannot be controlled. You can't tell us what to do. Blah, 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 blah. Until you get to realize that you are walking in dishonor. So you need to be careful. So that you continually receive from God's vessel sent to you. Because it can happen that you stopped receiving. It will amaze you to know that the power of God's healing virtue at work in any vessel at any point is highly dependent on how much of honor the people exude towards that vessel. So you're going to find numerous healings and miracles in places where men of God or the man of God is highly esteemed and loved and cherished and treated as uncommon. Yeah. Now, if we say that faith receives the power of God, while offenses, unbelief, dishonor stifles the power of God, that means that honor in this regard is faith in action. Honor is faith in action. Because if faith receives the power of God, and if faith sees miracles, and if faith sees the great things happen, then it will mean that honor is faith in action. It means when we decide to honor God's servant, when we decide to honor God's servant, then it means that we have the right faith. Today I was reading something very interesting on one of, you know, Elisha's servant, close servant. He was called Gehazi. And I'd like you to see something in 2 Kings that I realized about Gehazi. You know, he was that man who was struck with a disease because Elisha refused to take a gift. And he went ahead of Elisha and he took the gift. And Elisha got furious. Because if I rejected the gift, why should you go ahead of me and receive something that I said you should not receive? But today I saw something interesting, and how that the power of God, my goodness, failed to work in Gehazi's life. Let me show you something. In 2 Kings chapter 4, wow. I didn't even know this will help this way. I want the NLT version. I will give you the verse. 2 Kings chapter number 4. We're going to take a long read, but I want you to see something. Gehazi had dishonor in his heart. So I want the NLT version, chapter 4. We're going to start from verse 16. Remember, he had already, he was on the way to receiving that leprosy that he received as a result of he despising the words of his master Elisha. 4 verse 16. So Elisha, the prophet, I want you to pay attention. It's something I saw this afternoon. Next year at this time, you will be holding a son in your arms. No, my Lord, she cried. O man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. She was barren. She could not conceive. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant. Right? And at that time, the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. One day, when her child was older, he went out to help his father, who was working in the harvesters. Suddenly, he cried out, "My head hurts! My head hurts!" His father said to one of the servants, "Carry him home to his mother." So the servant took him home, and his mother held him on her lap. But around noontime, he died. She carried him up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, then shut the door and left him there. She sent a message to her husband, "Send one of the servants and a donkey, so that I could hurry to the man of God and come right back." "Why go today?" he asked. "It is neither a new moon festival nor a Sabbath," she said. "It will all be all right." So she saddled the donkey and said to the servant, "Hurry, don't slow down until I tell you." As she approached the man of God at Mount Carmel, Elisha saw her in the distance. He said to Gehazi, the same Gehazi, "That dishonorable servant, look, the woman from Shunem is coming. Run out to meet her and ask her, 'Is everything all right with you, your husband, and your child?' Yes," the woman told Gehazi, "everything is fine." But when she came to the man of God at the mountain, she fell to the ground before him and caught hold of his feet. Pay attention. Dishonorable Gehazi comes in. Pay attention. Gehazi began to push her away. He was insensitive, number one. Follow closely. But the man of God said, "Leave her alone. She is deeply troubled. But the Lord has not told me what it is." Then she said, "Did I ask you for a son, my Lord? And I didn't say, 'Don't deceive me and get my hopes up.'" Then Elijah said to her, "Gehazi, get ready to travel. Take my staff and go. Don't talk to anyone along the way. Go quickly and lay the staff on the child's face." But the boy's mother said, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live yourself, I won't go home unless you go with me." So Elisha returned with her. Pay attention. Gehazi misses it. Gehazi hurried on ahead and laid the staff on the child's face. But nothing happened. There was no sign of life. He returned to meet Elisha and told him, "The child is still dead." When Elisha arrived, the child was indeed dead, lying there on the prophet's bed. He went in and shut the door behind him and prayed to the Lord. Then the miracle happened. Now, why couldn't Gehazi raise the child when Elisha had given him his staff to go put the staff on the boy's head so that the boy can resurrect? I can tell you something. There was a certain kind of a dishonor in Gehazi's heart. There was dishonor in Gehazi's hands. So the power of God that was supposed to be in the staff transmitted to the boy to resurrect him according to the words of Elisha had failed. It had failed. I read this today. When I saw it, I was like, wow, I can see this honor in there. Because if this is the same Gehazi who had been around Elisha, I believe that the next person that should have received God's grace from Elijah to Elisha was Gehazi. But we see that the legacy of Elijah passing on to Elisha ended with Elisha. Gehazi could not continue the legacy of Elisha. It's dishonor when your pastor tells you, don't do this, and you go and do it. Don't take the money, and you go and take the money. Don't follow this thing, and then you follow this thing. Do it this way, and you do it absolutely another way. Go left before we realize you are right. Go to the right. You say, no, pastor, I think the left is right. Move in front. You say, no, pastor, I think moving behind is the right thing to do. It was the same case. Don't take the money. You see, Gehazi, my master Elisha doesn't know what he's talking about. Give the things to me. I will gladly receive them. That was what Gehazi did. It's dishonor to put second thoughts to what your pastor has said. Go and do it like this. You say, pastor, I thought. Why are you thoughting? Where is that thought from? What are you thinking? Why? What are you thinking about? They say, go and do A. You say, pastor, I thought B is what should help in this situation. What's the thought about what you have been told clearly to go and do? We're talking about stifling the power. Don't make assumptions on your hearing. Don't assume something was said. No, you listen to what is said and you do what was said. Not making, I thought you meant, why did I communicate something to you? And you are thinking I meant something. So Gehazi goes with the whole rod of Elisha. And Elisha said, go and put the rod on the boy's face. He would resurrect. And then he goes and nothing happens. And now Elisha has to go himself. Dishonor will stifle the power of God. It will stifle God's blessing you can receive. And the cost of dishonor can be very grave. See what Jesus says when you meet people who are dishonorable. Sometimes dishonor will not necessarily mean that you insult, you talk against. Sometimes just the mere attitude of not recognizing it enough is dishonor. Yeah, just the attitude of not recognizing it is dishonor, is to walk in dishonor. So to dishonor is not difficult. It just means not to honor. You dishonor. So when you don't honor, you are dishonoring. There's nothing like I don't honor, but I'm not dishonoring. No. When you don't honor, you are dishonoring. So there's not, you know, middle side to whatever conversation we are having today. It's either you are honoring or you are dishonoring. I try to tell people, when I'm working with you, I'm the most important person there. You shouldn't have me asking you something and someone is asking you something and then you leave what I'm asking and you are listening to what somebody else is asking you. What are you trying to tell me? What are you trying to tell me? That, you are not important. And I will not keep people around me who don't think I'm important to listen to. You don't keep such people around. They is becoming proud. You may want to see it whichever way you want to see it. How can I be talking to you and someone else is talking to you? You are listening to the person talking to you. You finish talking to you, you say, Pastor, what were you saying? You are very silly. I shouldn't even have you around me. And many times when you do these things, you see that the people around you learn some of these things. See them passing sarcastic statements around and laughing and giggling. We are not going to entertain any kind of dishonor and stupidity in our midst. Yes, if you don't like it like that, find somewhere where you can say your mind and talk everything you want. Find that place and go there. Yeah, just let you know. Find that place where you can say your mind, can express your mind and insult and say your mind and pass your statements. Find those places and be there. Don't come here. Don't come here. Yeah, we don't do that. We frown on people who walk in dishonor. Don't just stop God's power from working in our midst. Please find somewhere and go there. And if I get you working in dishonor, I'll not take it lightly with you. I'll address you and I'll make you know that you are very dishonorable. Watch what Jesus says about dishonorable people. Matthew chapter 10. Verses 11 to 15. You can give us the NLT version too. I want us to see this in different shades. Matthew chapter 10, verse 11. Whenever you enter a city or a village, search for a worthy person. Is that not honor? It means don't go to somebody who doesn't find you worthy. Don't go, don't visit them. Search for a worthy person and stay in his home until you leave. When you enter the home, this Jesus, oh, when you enter the home, give it your blessing. If it turns out to be a worthy home, bless the home. If it turns out to be a worthy home, let your blessing stand. If it's not, take back the blessing. Don't bless people. When I see somebody, I don't bless people who, or bless homes that dishonor. That's why from now on, I will not pray for people who want to, they show total disloyal attitudes and, you know, things that are wrong. No, I'll just say, it's well. Go. We are done with you. It's okay. Go. Because if I bless you, you'll be blessed. If I say it is well with you, to be well with you, I just say, it's okay. We are done. We don't need any prayer. Or just find your way out. Yeah. Because if I bless you, you'll be blessed. So I'll not say anything. I'll just say, okay, you can go. God be with you. Amen. This Jesus, I'm not the one saying it. You can say, Pastor is becoming very difficult and he's teaching something. This Jesus, just take it back. Don't bless those people. Don't say, don't say anything. Yeah. If any household or town refuses to welcome you or listen to your message, shake off its dust from your feet as you leave. Yeah, it means just, it's a wise way of saying just leave them to themselves. Allow, just shake off your feet as dust. Then he says, I tell you the truth, the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah will be better off than such a town on Judgment Day. So you let your peace come upon it. But if it's not, let your peace go. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when ye depart out of that house, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment for that city. Verse 42 and 41, please. Matthew 10, 42 and 41. I'm teaching it the way I'm teaching it, so you know how serious is it. It is. Yes. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. He that receiveth you receiveth me, and he that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. So Jesus is emphatic in his explanation. When we receive or when we honor ministers as men whom the Lord has sent to us or to bless us, we receive and honor Jesus, which is synonymous to receiving God the Father. So when we honor God, we honor the Son. Or when we honor the Son, we honor God. Both of them are synonyms. When we honor his church or the body or the saints, we honor the Son, and so we honor the Father. Whatever we do to the church in our conduct, in our attitude, is doing it to God. He could not do any mighty miracle because the people were offended. Offense there is unbelief. You must be used to saying, I believe that when I pray with so-and-so, I'll be healed. When pastor prays for me, I'll be fine. When this brethren prays for me together, when I call, say, let's agree on this, it will be well. That's honor on his body, honor on his ministers. You say, I believe God. That's honor on God. You brag about his name. You brag about what he can do for you. Learn to brag about it. That's honor to God. You can say that this thing will happen. Because God is with me, it will happen. And it will truly happen. So learn to keep your boast in the Lord. You're going to walk in honor towards the saints, honor towards the brethren, honor towards men of God, honor towards Jesus and God, ultimately. Yeah. You must have it. I have great honor for any man called man of God. I have great honor for him. And I didn't start today. I remember a great man of God entered the pharmacy while I was working. And they didn't know him because he's a great man of God, but it's not, some people who don't go to church will not know him. So they didn't know that there was someone like that that entered. When I spotted him from afar, I hurriedly went and I took a basket. Yeah, I was the pharmacist. I was the one in charge of everything. And I went and I took a basket and I started following him. And I greeted him and I was holding the basket next to him. That's a servant of God. That's a man of God. That's a servant of God. That's a man of God. And he put this, and I was holding the basket with his other people around. And then he asked me, do you have Listerine? And I said, Listerine, which one? He mentioned this, but we didn't have. I started calling other branches, called Hacho, called Vita, called Kaneshi, called Usuko. I called I was hoping to get what he wanted for him just because he was a man of God. Came out. I said, no, this one, let's give a discount. So why do we have to? I said, listen to me, give a discount. 10%. That's a man of God. I didn't say to them that's a man. They didn't care to know, but I mean, I knew. I said, give him a discount. So, oh, but from, hey, give him a discount. Don't ask me anything. Yeah, that's a man of God. Sometimes I pay a little of what they have to pay. Yes, that's the man of God. That's honor. That's recognizing whom God has put his honor on. That's it. Yeah. I enjoy so many privileges. I'm telling you, just because of, I believe that I do this for other people. So God will help other people do it for me. Just last dawn, 2 days ago or so, I was praying when the Lord told me, get a printer. Yeah, get a printer. I said, Lord, what printer do I use? I saw myself checking on WhatsApp and saying, who can help me get a good printer? I put it there this evening. Someone from Germany said, please, when you get whatever printer you want, just send it. I'll pay for the printer. Yeah, why wouldn't they do it for me? Because I do it for other people. Yeah, just this evening, I've not even shared it. Nobody even knows it. Don't worry, please. When you get whatever printer you want, I'll pay for the printer. I'll pay. It's a privilege. I'll pay for the printer. Yes. It's a man of God. Why not? Why not? Why not? One of the things, and let me tell you one thing, that my mother used to say, or that my mother used to do, she honors a lot of men of God. A lot of them. She has prophets, friends that can come to. When I was small, she'll buy birthday. She realized that is this man of God's birthday. She'll go and buy cake and go to the man of God's house and go and celebrate the man of God. I'm not shocked that God gave her a firstborn, who is also a prophet. I'm not shocked. I'm not too shocked. I'm not too shocked. Because she did it for other people. I remember men of God would come to our houses. She would cook food for them. They would eat. She would give them money. And after that, they would just come and pray for us. So if you want pastor to be fasting every time, you don't know that there's a blessing that comes with eating well to bless. Yes, it's true. It's very biblical. Yeah. Yeah. Just bring me venison. Let me eat. When I finish, not when I fast for 3 days, when I finish eating, I'll bless you. I'll pray over you. Now, that could be taken to an extreme. And I'm very careful right now as I say this to, you know, put in the balance. But I'm just using some of these illustrations to tell you how important it is for you to have a honorable heart. To have a honorable heart. To have a honorable heart. A heart that has great respect for. Your friends who go to disco and who they come to your house, you do food for them. Your Christian brothers and sisters are coming, you don't do anything. You say, oh, God, please, there's water. Oh, you are the very dishonorable person. If Sakode or some unbeliever, maybe Sakode is not an unbeliever, if some unbelieving musician comes to you, you pick the best bowls and the best ceramic plates to serve them. And then your fellow born-again believers come to your house and you serve him with some plastic thing that you just threw away and you just pick it, just wash it small, and just say, God is watching you. You are a very dishonorable person. Very dishonorable person. I'm hoping there is no one here like that. I'm just hoping. So you're going to learn to walk in honor. Learn to walk in honor. Help me, these things I'm teaching you, God is my way. I don't demand these things. If you don't know, I'm telling you, I don't demand these things. I was in somebody's house, so Ivan's house, a couple, he was trying to bring me glass. I said, please, I just give me plastic. I brought some plastic rubber. He didn't want to agree. I said, please, just bring me that. Let me I don't demand them, but I'm telling you how to be wise. You see that? Yes, I don't demand these things. It doesn't do me anything to be served in a ceramic or I don't have a problem like that. But it is wise for you to know these things and put it into effect so you can bless, you can get the blessings that come with it. But you know what I see? I see you becoming very honorable. Honorable. Hey, let me tell you something. In a couple of days, maybe I'll just touch on something with a lot of scriptures also. The reason why I showed you a lot of scriptures was because I wanted you to see it's not something that I am saying. Everybody is the same. In the body of Christ, we are all the same. No, we are not the same. We are not the same at all. I'll show you scriptures. We are not the same. You are not the same as your pastor. You're not the same. We are the same in salvation. We have been bought with that same price, purchased by, with that same price. But when it comes to ministry, there is something called the grace of God. That one in ministry is different. It's not the same. At all. At all, it's not the same. So we are the same in Christ. We all have been justified. We have been sanctified. Jesus Christ has purchased us with his blood. Everybody, there's no escape. Everybody's under. But when it comes to ministry, grace in ministry, it's not the same. They're not the same. Then why should you kneel down to receive a prayer? Can't you just stand and receive a prayer? Don't listen to those people. They have nothing tangible to show. They have nothing tangible to show. I kneel down for people. You don't ask. I kneel down for people. I'm not even shy. Because there is grace that is at work. And that grace is not a function of he speaks well, or he sounds well, or he articulates well, or he's older, he's way older, so he's more great. No, you can find somebody who is 16 years and the grace upon their lives demands that you humbly receive. You should. You should. I mean, why not? Why not? Why not? We are all the same in Christ, but in ministry we are not the same. If not, every man of God should have the same results. Some results are scarier than others. I should tell you that it's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same grace at work in everyone for ministry. It's the same grace at work in everyone for salvation, but not in ministry. So you're going to learn to appreciate. Me, I don't have everything. But I'm telling you, with time, it will look like I have everything. Yeah, wait and see. Because I'll humble myself every time like a child and take, and take, and take, and take. Yeah. I don't have everything. But a time is coming. It will look like I can do everything. When you put me anywhere, I'll function massively and largely. Because I know how to humble myself. That's why I don't have it. Let me humble myself. And before I when I humble myself, you see, it will start working. It will start working. So in the body, in this ministry as we find ourselves, graces are highly contactable. You can catch something from a brother just by honoring what they have. Say, brother, can you pray with me? I like this thing you do. Pray that God would also help me to receive what you have received from him. And before you realize, it will start working. It will start working. Brother, the way I see, you can really pray, pa. can we have times where we pray together? Before you realize it's rubbed off on you, you must be able to see, to regard, to respect, to treat as uncommon the grace of God by honoring his vessels that he's giving. Things are going to be changing in your life because you are walking in supernatural honor. Supernatural honor. Honor from the heart. Honor from the heart. Honor from the heart. Not fake honor. Not fake honor. There was a time before I ever heard anybody call me prophet or anybody call anybody prophet. I was a young boy, like 14 or so. Yeah, 14 or so. Yeah, 14. I think I was SS1 or so. Yeah, and I met this senior who was a charismatic president. And I was an Adventist by then. But any time I heard him pray in tongues, I felt in my heart that there was something supernatural about his ministry. Yeah, I felt in my heart that there was something I couldn't explain. I knew this was power. Yeah, I knew that this was power. So at that time, I heard from somebody who was close to me, who knew him from BBNE. He was from BBNE. They were together in BBNE. And how that he had lost his father or something, and he was with his mother, and he was struggling financially. And I said, is that so? Yeah. And that time, I loved Vitamilk a lot. So my dad used to bring me a lot of Vitamilk and bread. Yeah. So I made inquiries and I went to see his room, his dormitory. Yeah. There's a condominium. It's Winston's dormitory. And then I saw his bed and I started putting Vitamilk and bread under his pillow without him knowing. So every time you go there and you go and find Vitamilk and bread, I was just as I don't know how, but you see, I told you that when God has great things for you, he sets you up for honor. Yes, you never find anything good in any dishonorable man. Yeah. So when God wants to use you, he gives you the wisdom of learning how to. You just see something, you recognize it because you know this is real. It's true. Yeah. It gives you the wisdom of honor. He's going to go and put Vitamilk and bread. He'll come, he'll ask, who does? They don't know, but the Vitamilk and bread is there. And then one time, he got to realize that it was this small boy. Very small, the smallest in my class, aside a guy called something. I was very small. And you can imagine even now, like then. And then he caught me one time, putting the Vitamilk and the bread. Then he met me we had a place in my school called the tavern. It was a place with springing water. The tavern was where the statues was. It was around the main administrative area. There was a certain, you know, sort of a tap. Water sprang forth from it. And one evening he called me and I walked with him. I remember like yesterday, I was in a green shirt and a khaki trouser. That was what we wore for prep. So after prep, I met him. And he walked with me gently. He was the SU president by then. And he walked with me gently. And he said, God is going to use you as a prophet. Yeah. I was an Adventist. I didn't even know what a prophet was. So I asked him, I said, What is a prophet? What does it mean? What is it? And he said, you will see, you will know, you will hear, you will say things that will come to pass. And I still remember, it didn't take effect from that day. But look at it today. Look at it today. Even now I have to hide the prophet name because I just want to feel free. Look at it today. What honor from the heart can do. Today it has happened. The words he spoke over me that I didn't see instantaneously are the same words that have come to pass. And are coming to pass. And he told me something in addition. He said, like Abraham. That was the first time I heard the scripture. He said, like Abraham, as far as you can see is as far as you will go. Until today, I still remember that word. That's why many times when I want you people to grow into something, I send you so that you go and see. Yeah. Because seeing was told me a long time ago that it's part of me. If I can see it, I should just see that this is it. That's all. Yeah. Anything that I can see, I'll multiply it. It's just a matter of time. Anything I can see, I can multiply it. I can multiply. Honor from the heart. When God has great things for you, he sets you up for honor. I'm telling you, he sets you up for honor. And via honor, he will transmit things that he has already put on other people. He would take them and put it on you too as well. Those are impartations. So Moses would take upon what he has and he'll put it on Aaron. He'll take what he has, he'll put it on the 70. Elijah would take what he has and he'll put it on Elisha. Elisha was called the one that pours water on the hands of Elijah. That was his name. He was the one that poured water on the hands of Elijah. He would take what is upon Elijah and put it on Elisha. He would take what is upon Paul and put it on Timothy. He would take what is upon Jesus and put it on his disciples. You are ready for an impartation when your heart is right. How did I receive writing very, like I can now communicate things that are on my heart very clearly. I believe it was Reverend Onyeka that laid hands on me. And all of you were there. What have you received? Eh? I know you've received something in Jesus' name. But what is showing? What? Because I took all of you. I took 30 something people. What is there right now that you can see that from this meeting, this is what I had. I slept and I woke up and someone was giving to me a book. After he laid hands on me, right afterwards, I realized that my articulation is like the words on my heart find a lot of expression with my hands. That's how I can explain it. Like now what I have on my, I can write it. I can write. And somebody can read it and understand. The same way it is in my heart. It's from that meeting. What did you receive? Let me know. What did you receive? In that meeting, what did you receive? What have you received from the times that we have been laying hands on you? Why are you not seeing something? It's something you should check. Sometimes I laugh. I'm like, hey, no one of God should make that mistake. Oh. My spirit is like a magnet. It catches things. I'm telling you, I don't need two times. Just once is enough. Bishop Dag laid hands on me. You see. Don't be sure that in a few years to come, you'll see things moving out and sprouting forth just the same way. Don't be shocked. Yeah. I can hold on to things I can receive things. My heart is in the right place. I know how to receive things. Yeah, I know how to receive it. Don't be shocked when we have 60 million books in print and over. Don't be shocked. 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 Because the same teaching grace that produces the books and has the camps is the same teaching grace. It's the same teaching grace. The same. Yes. When you walk in honor, you flow into things that you never would have probably flowed into. And you're going to be people of honor. You're going to be people of honor. It's not fake. It's not, hey, pastor. But when he's not there, you are misbehaving. When he's not there, you are saying something. When he's not there, you are talking behind. When he's not there, you are not the same. No. Yeah. Anybody that speaks against Ken Hagen, I don't have anything to do with you. Please, please. 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 We can't be together. We can't walk. I'm serious. I'm not lying to you. We can't walk together. I'm telling you, if it was not for Kenneth Hagin and his writings, I promise you, I almost would have sweared to God. But I promise you, I don't think I would have arrived this far. I would have made a lot of errors. Thank God for even men that are physically around us like Pastor Prince. But actually, yeah. I wouldn't survive this thing called ministry. I won't survive. God has kept me. Thank God for his servant. Yeah, thank God. Yeah. There's certain times the thing that keeps me going. Me, I'm a very different kind of a person. I can tell you for a fact. Something like getting to know Kenneth Hagin was broke when he was even 30 years old or something. It keeps me going. Yeah. Because the same steps, it just getting to know that it makes me happy. That he was still driving a car that he had to suffer for gasoline at the age of 38 and 40. It keeps me going. It's the same thing. It's the same sacrifice. It's the same work. Yes, it's the same thing. You want the same thing, you have to go through the same thing. Look, it will not come by just excitement and all of that. Yeah. That's the kind of honor I put on him. Yeah, the kind of honor, that's the same thing I put on him. Yeah. So me, I don't worry about anything. I'm telling you. I don't have everything, but I don't worry about anything. Yeah. After all, what do I have to lose? I don't have anything to lose. Some of you don't have anything to lose. You have nothing to lose. Serving God. You have nothing. There is nothing to lose, my brothers. You are nothing. You are nothing. Eh? You are nothing. If you look at the family you are coming from, you know you are nothing. I mean, let's not argue. You are nothing. You are not. Go and see your family, your main family house. You'll be shocked that you are the one standing there. You are nothing. Yeah. You are nothing. Go to your family house. Go and see. They don't even have ball. But it's now that maybe they might be trying to put ball or something. I'm not talking about your nuclear family. I'm talking about where you actually come from. They don't have ball. Ask them. They'll tell you. They are now trying to. The family members are now trying to put up a structure and put things in order. You are nothing. So there is nothing to lose. You are nothing. Sleep with this. You are nothing. Yeah. You are nothing. It's only Jesus in your life that makes you something. Yeah. Only Jesus in your life that makes you something. There is nothing to lose. Yeah. I saw my family and I said, this. Chama. You are nothing. I told myself, Pascal, you are nothing. You are nothing. You are nothing. You are nothing. I come from a very small family. You can sit on us and all of us, we are dead. I don't know about you, but many families are like that. They are just not. You're just pompous and loud and proud. Just loud them. If you will not die in Jesus' name, but if anybody dies, then you say you have nothing. You have nothing. So thank God that He chose you and take it seriously and do something for Him that makes you something. Yeah, do something for Him that makes you something. Do something for Him that makes you something. Without Him, you can't do anything. Without Him, you can't do anything. Without Him, you can't do anything. But with Him, you can do all things through Him that strengthens you. Those are going to be our convictions. So we're going to walk in honor. And receive and learn and humble ourselves and not be proud in our minds. Humble ourselves before the Lord and He will lift us up. We can recognize, we can see. Don't argue with your pastor. Don't argue with your pastor. Don't think you know better. Don't think you are more experienced. Or don't think you have a better opinion. Because you don't. If we leave it for you, you see that you run away. We leave it for you. You see how it is. I can do this. I can start my own. Go and start and see. Go and start and see. Go and start and see. See how it is. So don't be very high-minded. Don't be high-minded.